From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Afghanistan is a major agenda item today for NATO ministers convening in Lisbon. Afghan President Karzai attending the meetings where exit strategy is a main talking point. Also on the agenda, a U.S.-Russia arms control treaty. Russian President Medvedev has also traveled to Portugal for the NATO summit. In his weekly address, President Obama is calling on conservative Senate Republicans to go along with treaty ratification.
There's enough gridlock, enough bickering. If there is one issue that should unite us, as Republicans and Democrats, it should be our national security.
The president reminds Republicans the treaty has its roots in the Reagan administration. A full day has passed since an explosion tore through a New Zealand coal mine. 29 miners remain trapped. Prime Minister John Key is telling reporters that safety is paramount for rescue workers.
The big issue now is balancing the rescue of the miners with the safety and security of those that have to undertake that operation.
Authorities are concerned about a buildup of lethal gases. There's been no contact yet with the trapped coal miners. The U.S. Senate has approved nearly $1.2 billion to compensate black farmers who were discriminated against by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. From member station WFAE in Charlotte, Julie Rose reports.
John Boyd has virtually abandoned his fields back in Virginia to lobby Congress on behalf of tens of thousands of black farmers. He's the president of the National Black Farmers Association, which he founded after he and his father were passed over for government aid.
I've spent just about almost all of my adult life working on this issue for 26 years, a very, very long time, and since the early 80s. It's been a difficult fight, but, justice is sweet.
Boyd says about 80,000 black farmers will qualify for a share of just over $1 billion in compensation. The bill approved by the Senate also includes $3.6 billion for American Indian landowners who claim they were swindled out of payments by the Interior Department. The House plans to take up the measure after Thanksgiving. For NPR News, I'm Julie Rose in Charlotte.
France is saying no to al-Qaeda, Frank Browning reports. Al-Qaeda is asking France to withdraw all its forces from Afghanistan in exchange for releasing five French hostages seized last September in Niger, Africa.
New Defense Minister Michel Alliot-Marie rejected the demand issued by a North African branch of al-Qaeda, saying France would never accede to blackmail. The al-Qaeda demand came from Abu Musab Abdel Wadoud, the organization's Maghrebian leader, and it called on France to negotiate the Frenchman's release directly with Osama bin Laden.
Reporter Frank Browning. This is NPR News. The maker of the painkiller Darvon is pulling the medicine off the market. The Food and Drug Administration says new information about heart risks led to the move. But as NPR's Scott Hensley reports, questions have dogged the drug for years.
A panel of experts recommended early in 2009 that the FDA ban the sale of Darvon and generic versions of the prescription painkiller. Issues with the 50-year-old drug included reports of overdoses and doubts about its effectiveness. Last summer, the agency decided to let Darvon stay on the market with beefed-up warnings about overdose risks. But the FDA also asked drug maker Xanodyne Pharmaceuticals to study the medicine's effect on the heart. Those results are in, and the FDA says there are concerns. Typical doses of Darvon raise the risk of serious and sometimes fatal irregular heartbeats. It asked Xanodyne to end its sales of the drug. The FDA said about 10 million Americans got prescriptions for Darvon and its generics last year. Scott Hensley, NPR News, Washington.
Airline pilots have been given a reprieve from intensified security screenings. They will just have to present photo IDs and pass through metal detectors. Three banks in Florida, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin have been shuttered by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So far, 149 banks this year have failed due to soured loans and a weak economy. The banks include First Banking Center of Wisconsin, Gulf State Community Bank in Carrabelle, Florida, and Allegiance Bank of North America in Balasinwood, Pennsylvania. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.